Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Agus Gurmila Mantafishin, Neil. Now, the Thánaise Micheál Martin was in Jordan, as you heard in the headlines today, as he continued his latest visit to the Middle East in a bid to secure agreement for a ceasefire in Gaza and recognition for a Palestinian state. The Thánaise visited an UNRWA Palestinian refugee camp south of the Jordanian capital, Amman, as he concluded his two-day visit. He also visited Rafah in southern Gaza on the border with Egypt. Meanwhile, the Israeli government say they're going to press ahead with a ground offensive in Rafah in a bid to destroy the last remaining units of Hamas. Before we came on air, I spoke with the Thánaise Micheál Martin, and I began by asking him about that imminent attack in Rafah and about what he observed while at the Rafah crossing.
Well, first of all, what I observed there, I met with humanitarian workers who are working with UN agencies in Gaza, and they came out to see me in at Rafah crossing to discuss the reality underground in there. And the situation is dire. There's an absolute need for a surge in humanitarian aid. But they also identified very significant trauma on the people of Gaza, particularly children. And they said the psychosocial trauma and repercussions and implications of this war will be simply enormous in the aftermath of the war, because the children are going through unbelievable trauma, being displaced up to seven times, witnessing loved ones being killed, parents and siblings. And they gave us a figure, I think about 400,000 were attending mental health services of UNRWA before the war. And they say in the aftermath of the war, they really are very worried in terms of the scale of that psychosocial problem.
And having been there, what would your message be to the Israeli Prime Minister, who's promised a ground offensive on Rafah?
Well, there's two messages. Please stop the unnecessary barriers to aid getting in. We went to a depot at Rafah where we saw rejected goods, a CT scanner, a lot of hospital equipment, just simply denied by the Israeli authorities on the grounds of dual use, a green sleeping bag because it could be used as camouflage, a children's education pack because there's a small scissors. Unbelievable, given the enormity of the starvation and the hunger that these, and there's many more items, crutches, for example, all being stopped and rejected. So that's the first message. Can you just simply allow aid that's been donated by countries all over the world to get into Gaza? And the second message is, we're hearing really news that Israel is absolutely determined to invade Rafah. That will be catastrophic. And for the people of Gaza, it will mean thousands more deaths. It will also mean, by definition, that many of the humanitarian organizations, the UN organizations who are based in Rafah, that their work will be severely restricted in the context of such an invasion, mm-hmm. With further dire consequences for people in terms of medical, attention. At the moment, all hospitals are more or less degraded in Gaza, so that you kind of have primary care clinics that UNRWA are working at the moment, which can do vaccinations. But even things like cold chains are not being facilitated on the Gaza side. And the Red Crescent Society were explaining this to us. Very simple things that would mean a huge difference in terms of preventing disease and so forth.
And healthcare and health supplies are obviously a huge issue as well. On the other side then, the Egyptian side, I know you visited the Al-Arish Hospital, which is the closest one, I think, to the Rafah crossing. Can you explain to me a little bit or describe to me what you saw there?
Well, again, that hospital is completely over... used obviously because of not just it's the only hospital in that region, but because of the Gaza war. In the initial stage, they had many people coming in with explosion injuries, and then now they have more people with chronic illnesses coming in where they can't get any attention in Gaza. So, for example, yesterday when I met a mother, her right leg amputated, and her son on the bed next to her, in what I would term fairly rudimentary conditions. That young child had an open fracture on the left thigh from an explosion. In another bedroom, we had a woman with multiple injuries from an explosion, and children with injuries as well, and some then with chronic conditions that really, I think, can't be dealt with at that hospital, and probably and will need tertiary care at another hospital.
If it's there. I know there are some Irish medics who've gone to Gaza, more Irish medics who want to go to Gaza or near it, even on the Egyptian side, to help. Do you know of any plans, or is there enough infrastructure on that side to allow that to happen?
Well, I think we certainly would encourage, we'd facilitate that. I mean, I'm not aware of any specific plans. Some already have, and we would be open to discussing that with Irish medics in terms of any contribution that they could make. I think what's impressive, I went to an UNRWA facility here in Jordan today as well. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of good stuff being done at the primary care side, and certainly on maternal health, on vaccination, some fantastic work being done, which is really the reason they say that cholera and stuff has been prevented so far, although we were warned yesterday that cholera isn't too far away now because of the lack of any proper sewage facilities and so forth.
Since you mentioned UNRWA and the Jordanian facility you mentioned there, UNRWA funding, can I talk to you about that? Germany has announced that it's going to resume the funding of UNRWA. It's something the Irish government has done, and it's been acknowledged as being first and foremost in terms of funding UNRWA. Has that been discussed enough at EU level and progressed, in your opinion?
Just in terms of UNRWA, could I say to you that we warmly welcome the German response to the Catherine Colonna report. And the Catherine Colonna report nails it really in saying that UNRWA is irreplaceable and completely indispensable. And it's not just in Gaza, of course. It's in Jordan, it's in Syria, it's in Lebanon, and in the West Bank. And, you know, we saw schools this morning in a Palestinian camp in Jordan at Tablia, and it was fantastic. UNESCO approved your curriculum, being taught human rights, being taught science. It's their future. And I can't understand how anybody could contemplate taking funding away from UNRWA. That's my personal view, given the indispensable role it has. And we saw that today in Jordan, in the school I went to, and also in a medical clinic with enormous numbers of pregnant in that medical facility, that refugee camp. So here you have people who are hungry for education, hungry to get on in life, and UNRWA is the key to that. I think in future, what I will be calling for is a more systemic approach from the European Union and donor countries in terms of any allegations that are made, that we have a proper system for interrogating.
And yet, if I may jump in there, when we speak with Israeli government spokespersons about aid getting into Gaza, and we talk to them about UNRWA's call for more aid or UNICEF's call for more aid, they tell us there is no starvation in Gaza, that aid is getting into Gaza, as far as they're concerned, and if there is a lack of aid, it's because Hamas steals it. What's your response to that?
First of all, yesterday, again, after the UN interlocutors told us that serious evidence of undernourishment of children, underdevelopment, which they say will have very significant implications for the children and their families in years to come. So there is not a sufficiency of aid going in. There's been some improvement in terms of going from 200 trucks to 300 trucks, but that's nowhere near adequate in terms of what is required. And also what the UN personnel said to us is, it's not just about getting more flour in, it's about getting the ecosystem of humanitarian aid in. In other words, you need fuel, you need generators, you need water, and for the desalination plants and so on, you need the energy. So it's all integrated, and you need an integrated package to go that it gets immediately deployed or can go into the cold chain for use and deployment in Gaza. They lost a whole truck of insulin early on in this because of this bureaucracy, the barriers unnecessary that are being put up. So I think I would say to Israel, far better can be done here and needs to be done in the common cause of humanity.
Can I ask you then about something we've discussed on our programme, as you'll be well aware of as well, and it's the Irish citizens who are still trapped in Gaza. And I know the Department of Foreign Affairs has got an awful lot of Irish citizens out. We've spoken with Shireen Al-Sabag. Her mother has a right to leave, but she hasn't been granted right to leave yet. Zach Hania is still there as well. These families are very worried. Can you tell them about any progress?
Well, again, we spoke with the Egyptian side yesterday and the Egyptian foreign minister on this question. They are facilitative and they want to be facilitative. The bottom line is we need... Israel controls and is the authority on the Gazan side in terms of who's allowed out. Now, to date, we've facilitated about 90 up to 90 Irish citizens and dependents. Some were dependents who may not be citizens, children and so forth. And we reckon there's about up to another 40 in Gaza who have. Some came later than the original list that we received. But we are advocating continually on their behalf. It has in more recent times, some have managed to come through an agency and come out informally, a small number. And again, we facilitate their exit from Egypt and their and from Rafah and their reintegration into Irish society. So we're continually advocating on their behalf. And I know our ambassador in Egypt was in touch with some of those families very recently, mm-hmm. again, in terms of discussing how best we can work with our ambassador in Israel to get the remaining citizens and dependents out.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Tánaiste and Micheál Martin, thank you very much indeed for joining us from Jordan.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Cormac.